Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away, who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream. I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of those lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?
The second reading is on page 1046. It's Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 49. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but divisions. From now on, there will be fire in that one family, divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. But he said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? This is the word of the Lord.
And
Do you mind?
Sovereign Father, we thank you for the words you've given Ian this week, and we ask that the Holy Spirit opens our mind, bodies and souls to what you've told Ian, and through Ian we listen and absorb. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.
Now, Keith's just been preaching at Oldham. I don't know, can you give us the kernel of what you were saying? Can you sort of, oh, that's tough. Do you want to come and give us a little taste as well? Why not?
Yes, it was really just peace and division. Yeah. In fact, no peace, and there will be division. So that was really the core of what I said in Oldham. It was just, sometimes we think that God and Jesus is a Prince of Peace, but in some respects, he was talking about division here. So it's really that tension I was talking about this morning. So yeah,
brilliant. Right. Thank you. That's amazing, because that's what I was going to say as well. There is a God in heaven, isn't there? Yeah. Thank you, Keith. Yeah, last Sunday, Helen said, how do we live by faith? And today, I think, if I had to summarize it, I'd say, when the going gets tough, what do we do? Well, you know the way that goes. When the going gets tough, the tough get going, don't they? And as we've said, as Tim said, as Andrew said, as Helen said, we had a prayer meeting here on Monday evening because these are hard times. And we're standing at a bit of a crossroads and we wanted to seek the Lord. And some of the verses that God underlined for us were Colossians 1, as we've mentioned already, fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may live a life and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you. And another one that stood out as we were reflecting on this was Micah chapter 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you but to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? And I thought the thing that links both of those is the focus not on what we believe or what we say, but how we live our lives. Actually, Mark, as he was choosing the songs for our service today, said exactly that. We are judged on our actions, not on what we say we believe. So our first reading from Jeremiah that Leon read targets the false prophets who prophesy lies in God's name, empty words dreamt up in their own imagination. And the word of God from Jeremiah is fierce. These attacks on a wicked society, they actually used to be called a Jeremiad. He was famous for it, for having a go at the false prophets and the wicked society. And Jeremiah concludes, "Let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" When Tim gives us examples of what he said to people at work, that's what we're doing, isn't it? He's declaring the word of the Lord faithfully to those who we encounter in day-to-day life. I was listening to a talk on marriage this week, and the chap was an expert, a counsellor who counsels married couples and so on, and he advised that what he's noticed is that you need to spend at least 90 minutes a week with your partner, talking, telling each other about your life, staying in touch, sharing what's in your heart so that you know what each other is up to. I thought that's actually very good advice, because most of us just sort of live together day to day talking about the practical stuff, don't we? Who's going to take the car or how much milk you need or whatever. But we need to actually share the things in our hearts, because that's what makes and breaks relationships. And the same thing is true with God. If you want to stay in touch with God, you need intentional time in his company, reading his word, praying to him, listening to him. And then in God's case, you need to obey faithfully, to follow Jesus, to live a life and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, as Colossians puts it. So I think that's the message from Jeremiah about false prophets, is people who are not listening to God, frankly, who are dreaming it up out of their own heads. Don't do that. In fact, God's curse is upon people like that. Instead, speak the word of the Lord faithfully to those around you. Jesus gave us some great teaching, didn't he? He gave us the great commandment and the great commission. Now here's a test, here's a quiz. Can anybody tell me what those are? What's the first and great commandment? Anybody like to hazard a guess? Say again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, namely this. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So that's clear enough, isn't it? Jesus responding to the lawyer who was asking him, which of all the, well, they think there are 365 commandments in the Old Testament, which of all these is the greatest? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God and love your neighbour as yourself. And then there was the Great Commission. Who else can tell me what that was? At the end of Matthew's Gospel. Any bids? Which one? Go and make disciples of all nations. The last words of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Trinitarian baptism, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. In the Gospel reading from Luke 12, our Lord is not gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is he? He's nowhere near that. Because he's warning of hard times to come. And he's saying he comes not to bring peace on earth, but division, as Keith said. You remember the angels at Christmas time, announcing to the shepherds in the fields above Bethlehem, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. You might think Jesus came to bring peace. But when he was presented in the temple, Simeon, the old priest, prophesied and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Scary words to Mary. And so Jesus warns that families are going to be divided because of him. For some, yes, he will bring peace on earth, peace between mankind and God, peace for us who believe in him. But for others, he will be a sign that is spoken against. Many of you have seen that in your own families, haven't you? Some of us have been asked to choose between staying in the family and following Jesus. We think we have it hard. In some countries, it's a choice between staying alive and following Jesus. And so Jesus warns his hearers to spot the signs of the times, just like a weather forecaster, a meteorologist. They were farmers, these guys. They knew how to look at the sky and see what was coming. They didn't need expensive supercomputers in Exeter or Aberdeen. And Jesus is so frustrated that the Jews can interpret the weather. They can look at the sky and they know what's coming. But they can't interpret the signs of the times, so it seems. That this is the time of God's visitation to Jerusalem. This is the time of God sending his chosen Messiah to them. As John's Gospel, chapter 1, puts it, "He came to that which was his own, and yet his own people did not receive him. And yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So Jesus comes, in a sense, to divide people into two camps, those who reject him and those who accept him gladly. And Jesus is warning the people here that it's the last chance saloon. Like a person being taken to court, you want to make a plea bargain with your adversary. You want to do a deal, and quickly. Otherwise, you may well be sent down, locked up in prison, and the key thrown away. The Christian gospel is often thought to be a luxury, optional extra, a nice thing, a harmless hobby for religious people who like that kind of thing. It's nothing of the sort. Jesus describes it here as a disaster warning system. One day, when the pilot announces, "Brace, brace, brace," you'll wish you listened to the safety drill. One day, when the climate starts running out of control, you'll wish we'd stop burning oil. And one day, when Jesus returns,